Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of hope to raise faithful kids. I'm Tony Kolenk, law professor, homeschooler, and the author of the Harwood Mysteries medieval series for teens and tweens. The latest on that series, by the way, is we're waiting for Loyola Press to release book 4 this fall, The Merchant's Curse, but it's now available for pre-order on Amazon. On today's show, we're going to be discussing evangelizing our adult children with author and businessman Jim Sano. Today, my guest is Jim Sano. Jim grew up in an Irish-Italian family in Massachusetts, where he and his family still live. He's a husband, father of two daughters, and lifelong Catholic who has worked as a teacher, a consultant, a businessman. He has degrees from Boston College and Bentley University, and he's currently attending Franciscan University of Steubenville, where he's getting a master's degree in, appropriately, catechetics and evangelization. He's also an award-winning author with 5 novels to his credit. The Father's Son, which was released in 2019, Gus Busby, released in 2020, Stolen Blessing, released in 2021, and Van Horn, also released in 2021. And believe it or not, he has the 5th one coming out in fall of 2022 called Self-Portrait. Jim, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
I've been looking forward to talking to you, Tony, and I do want to thank you for your, your service to God, obviously the service to country, and from what I've seen, your family as well. So it's just an honor to be on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So you look like you have a really interesting background here. Maybe just give our listeners a little bit of a preview of who you were, what business you did before you got into this writing business.
Yeah, I grew up in, it's a city north of Boston. It's a poor city, so it was a very diverse city, lots of different ethnic backgrounds. My mother was a very strong person of faith, and my father was kind of wishy-washy, but he was willing to go along to marry her. So she was really the big inspiration. She had come down with MS and was bedridden for 25 years. And I just watched her never complain, always smile, greet people and say, okay, this wasn't what I planned. She'd look to God saying, okay, what's your role for me now? So that role kind of made such an impression on me and my 2 brothers and 2 sisters. And we had a great family life growing up. We didn't have a lot in terms of money. We just had all the important stuff. So as I said, my father was Italian, my mother was Irish, so I got to see both sides of everything because they saw stuff in such different ways. I wanted to make a difference in the world. When I was about 15, I was at a 4th of July picnic, and I saw these 70-year-old guys at the table really regretting the decisions they made in life. They said, you know, they didn't spend time with their family. They wish they had done this and that. And I said, look, I never want to look back at 70 and say that same thing. I want to know what's important, and I want to make sure that was a priority. So I wanted to make a difference in the world. I went into teaching when I got out of Boston College, but I wanted a family, and I didn't feel like I could do both. And from there, I went to consulting and business and got my MBA. And really, you know, the decades after that, just raising a family, focusing on that and trying to grow my faith were the priority in terms of where I spent my time. And as I got along, I was trying to figure out, okay, what's my role to really jump in more to evangelization? So that's when I kind of started on this journey.
So you had this pretty interesting career. How did all of that add up to becoming an author focused on evangelization?
Well, I kept the focus in my life, really. One of the front book of the Father's Son has the rose window on it. And kind of the sense there is that the only thing that's going to work in the middle is to keep God first. Like Gail said in his book, I Am Third. I always kept God in the center and my family next. But I never let the other things become the priority. I might let basketball sneak in there sometimes. So I kept that going, but I knew there was more I could do from a faith standpoint. I think to do my part to help spread the good word. I wanted to make sure that I had a strong understanding of the faith that the church teaches, what Jesus left us. And I really spent a lot of time not only reading, but going to, there's a new evangelization group at St. Mary's that had a program that I attended. And I just started, the more you learn, the more you know you don't know kind of thing, is learning more and more about my faith and developing this rich appreciation for it. So it was like, how do I share that? How do I have an impact on people around me? And I think at the same time, we were really watching this exodus is drifting off from a lot of people from the church, a lot of young people who had, I felt like, had never had a chance to really hear the beauty or depth of wisdom in the faith, right? So they didn't know it. So they didn't know so much what they were leading. And I watched my kids going through school, and I knew they were going out into this very secular world where you're not going to hear anything about God or your faith or anything positive anyways. It would be negative. And I was trying to think of what are ways to reach out and try to spread that word. And I was trying to think of an alternative way to do that. There's so much rich literature and resources out there that's nonfiction, but you're not going to look for it until your faith has kind of clicked with you. You know, you've gotten that interest all of a sudden. You know, I thought of Jesus and his model. He always taught wisdom and truth through intriguing stories and very relatable characters. So people could attach to something they knew. It could make some sense to them. And I started thinking that writing a story that had very relatable characters, a story that would draw a reader in, might be a different way to get to people. And I had always wanted to write a book as a kid. I never thought I'd be published. And I never could get a story going in my mind. I'd get little snippets of it, but I could never really find a story until I started really going through this process of learning my faith at a deeper level. And this story started coalescing, the Father's Son story. And it takes a young boy from a trauma when he was 8. He becomes an adult that's very driven by success. And it's a way of avoiding dealing with pain of that trauma from his childhood. But it left him not whole. Right? It really affected his relationship. So there's this unexpected friendship that comes up to him. And then he goes on this journey. So that book, when I had researched it, I researched for about 7 years. And I thought when I sat down to write that this would be extremely painful. It was probably the most fun I had in my life writing. And I knew that that was coming from somewhere else. I knew the Holy Spirit was very involved in having that story flow, having those characters show up and that story just evolve into something I hadn't even imagined. So that process was just amazing. And during it, these other stories had started to come into my head. A little bit of a nuisance. You're trying to focus on one story. You're thinking of this other one in the background. But that's kind of how I got there. Obviously, once you've written a story, getting it edited and published can be very difficult. Published can be almost impossible in this area of Christian fiction. That's when I started praying to Mary, which I hadn't done really much of my life. And after really not being able to find a publisher within 2 weeks, everything turned around. It was an amazing experience. And working with, you know, Ellen Herkash and James at Full Corporate Publishing has been a blessing.
Yeah, they are wonderful people. I know them from the Writers Guild from years ago and respect what they're doing there with Full Quiver. Let me back up for a second here. So evangelization was obviously something that you were hoping for with these books. But when most people hear the word evangelization, maybe they're thinking of you going around preaching or thumping people with a Bible or something like that. Here you are, you're getting your master's in evangelization. What are you talking about when you say evangelization?
Yeah. And I was focused more on the new evangelization that John Paul II had talked about, is if you can teach the adults, then they're armed to go and help teach their families, the kids and their friends and stuff. I think of it more as through friendships, through people we work with, being an example. It's not necessarily even saying anything. Sometimes it's being there and hopefully spark an interest in the people that you know. The books can get into it a little more detail, but one example I have is a friend of mine that worked for me for 17 years had told me, you know, we're having a beer, and he said, don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about the church. I don't want to hear it. And I respected that. I said, you know, I'm not going to push anything on anyone. So it's been a process of being there, hopefully being an example. He'll come to me with questions instead of me pushing anything on him. He's become one of the biggest supporters of the books. Anytime we're out somewhere, he's always grabbing the waitress saying, you've got to buy one of these books and stuff like that. So it's been an interesting process of learning how to create intentional disciples in a way that's not proselytizing, but being there, being an example, making people think, hey, maybe you've got something I could check out. You know, I don't know. There's a journey to get there and it's different for everybody, but trying to at least have something available that can spark an interest or open up understanding of something that they'd never heard before.
Yeah. And obviously with both of us as authors, we think at least one way to do that may be through the written word. And I know a lot of your books are focused more on an adult audience, although I understand Gus Busby really is an appropriate read for teens also. Tell us a little bit about the Gus Busby book.
Yeah, Gus Busby is the second book in the Father Tom series. It is about a 70-year-old curmudgeon-y Italian guy that had lost his son to gang violence when he was 17 years ago, and then lost his wife, and he pretty much gave up on life. Downstairs from him in this two-family apartment in Boston is living a single Black mother and her teenage son, who's been kind of connected with the gangs. He's getting pulled in one direction, and he doesn't have a father around. And the story itself, the value of mentorship, the ability to kind of have a place to go to ask questions, to think about things you might not have thought about, the decisions that teenagers are faced today being pulled in different directions, and how do they mature and grow as young men and women in a way that they would be proud of, I think, when they grow up. So that story, I've had a lot of people tell me every kid in high school should read this book, because it does cover, obviously, the race aspect that's been around everywhere over the last decade or so as a big topic. So this relationship between people, instead of talking abstracts about differences of age or differences of skin color and things like that, it gets down to two people getting to know each other, sharing life together, gaining trust. And all the books have some intrigue and mystery to them. So see, the stories aren't just about that, but there'll be an interesting journey that's involved in it. And so I love that story. I love the characters in it. You know, it just kind of popped up during writing the first book. And I've had some great feedback on it. And I've got a number of Catholic high schools English departments are reviewing it to see if they want to include it in the curriculum. So, you know, that's been encouraging.
That's great. Yeah. But what you just said there about just people getting to know each other, building trust, one-on-one individual relationships is clearly one way for us to evangelize without even, like you point out, without proselytizing, if you will. Let's focus on youth for a second. How do we evangelize our youth? If we're parents, teachers, youth ministers, you know, do we hand them a copy of your book and say, hey, you're going to want to read this book? It's an awesome story.
Yeah, I think the big push in the church today is back to the domestic church. So parents understanding not only the responsibility and the impact they have by teaching their children about the most important thing in life, but also arming them with the ability to do that, giving them the information to do it. So a lot of that's going on through the church today. Books like yours or Gus Busby, or there's another one I've written that's more for probably 10 to 14-year-olds that I've got in the process of being edited. That's more of a fantasy journey, you know, that has honestly, right in your face type of faith and religion, but things about virtue, things about maturing and making decisions and things like that. If you can get kids to, you know, be pulled into a story, it is just one of many ways I think we can reach out to try to have them think about things that they may not run into talking to their friends or watching whatever they're watching on TV, giving them some kind of quality material to kind of stir that thinking in their heart.
Yeah, and that's the part that's difficult, just getting their attention between watching television or YouTube or TikTok or whatever. One of the things that is always difficult for me as an author is to think how few books that, you know, our youth are actually reading today. So, you know, how do we encourage even our youth to give a book like this a try?
Yeah, that's the challenge, I think, is getting that word out there, trying to spread the word through any means possible. I've kind of focused on Twitter. You know, you need a social platform. There's 50 million books on Amazon. Who would know you even exist, you know, unless you can get the word out. So I've kind of spent time there building mostly Catholic base of followers. So I've got about 13,000 followers on Twitter. So I've met some amazing people through that vehicle. As bad as Twitter can get on one side, there's a Catholic community within Twitter that's been amazing. I've met some of the most fantastic people like that. I would never have met them if I hadn't had that connection. They've read the books. They've tried to spread the word, you know, get it into families that they know. But when it comes down to it, it's just one possibility. You never know what's going to wake the person's heart. I have a daughter that's 30. We've certainly talked about the importance of God and faith, about knowing how much he loves you and that there's a purpose in your life. And I could tell for all these years, it was kind of like never really registering. She wasn't resisting it. It just wasn't really breaking through. And she's recently joined a couple of young adult groups, and she sat around with them, and people her age are talking about this thing called faith in God. And all of a sudden, she started going to adoration, which she hadn't really experienced before. She said she can't believe it. It's like almost an overnight thing that has broken through her soul. And watching that, it's saying, you know, you never really know what'll do it. You want to be there as a parent, and she appreciates everything we talked about. But it was something else that really got to her heart. It was something else that made it real for her. So I guess I never know with one kid versus the other. I've had kids read some of the books that I've had, and they said it completely changed them. Others said that you enjoyed the story, right? So you never know how it'll get to you. I've had a guy that's in his 70s read The Father's Son, and he said it was the first time he let the love of God pour through him. So that was the impact it had on him. Another reader wouldn't have that impact. They might like it for other reasons. So you hope for kids that something in it speaks to them to say there's something important here. You know, it may not describe all of it. It's just enough to kind of a hook to say, you know, that caught my attention. I'm not seeing anything fulfilling all these other places I'm going, and maybe they come back to it. So, you know, lots of parents have had to pray for their kids, and the journey, you have to kind of trust that God's going to be involved in that journey as well. And it may not happen when you'd hope it did, but you hope it does along the way. So,
yeah, and that's the key. Those of us who have adult children, I have essentially 5 adult children at this point. You do, you wonder, you know, what is it that's going to touch them? You know, parents only have influence for so many years. Is it going to be a book like Gus Busby? Is it going to be somebody they run into in the supermarket, or, you know, something that gets them to a youth group or a young adult group? So, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, because this is, we're in it for the long haul, I guess is the way I think about it. As a parent of adult children, you know, is we pray and we want God to reach them, and we can't evangelize to our adult kids because they're not going to appreciate it.
Yeah. You think St. Monica and St. Augustine obviously is the easy example, but you know, I've heard different people like Michael W. Smith, that's a Christian songwriter. He went to the worst place and he's come back. So you see some hope there, no matter where your kids are along the way. You hope they never have to hit that type of rock bottom, but you trust that God's in that process. And you say, okay, you're using me somehow. I'm going to try to pay attention to that and be there in a way that builds a friendship. The big thing I think is, if they feel like they're listened to, it's coming to them from love and the questions come from them, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, if I'm giving you answers that you didn't ask for, it doesn't always work so well. So you just try to be there for those opportunities, you know, rather than you're trying to force it in when you get a chance. I think that's the tough challenge when they become adult children.
When you're writing these stories, You know, obviously, there's a lot of things we can evangelize about. We could talk about church doctrine or teachings or the Eucharist or the Bible. What are the themes that you think and that you've chosen to try to resonate with your readers to really touch that divine spark that you've been sort of referring to here that might spark them to, you know, return to their faith or check things out that they might not otherwise have checked out?
Yeah, I think for me, God's all about relationship. That's all it is. It's about this loving relationship. He made us out of nothing but love. He loves us like to death, right? He certainly wants to do that. And he has a purpose for us. Those two things, if you can kind of connect to them, can make all the difference in the world. So the books kind of have two different angles, a lot of them. It's really knowing that God is real, that we are his sons and daughters, and how much he loves us. The other side is more of a psychological one. I think a lot of us are, there's so much anxiety, stress, depression. It's just exploding around the world. And a lot of it comes from not dealing with the pains and different things going on in our life. So I've taken a lot of psychology classes, and a lot of that has to do with most of what we do is avoidance, you know, whether it's drugs or busyness or alcohol, it could be whatever. A lot of these things are just avoiding stopping. And because there's so much noise around, few people get to really stop and think about things. So a lot of the psychology is trying to get us to be whole people by addressing those issues, breaking through and knowing that we have self-worth that doesn't come from the outside, and knowing that it comes from God is, I think, the big key is I'm not looking anywhere else. That rose window is, if God's in the middle, it's the only place our self-worth comes from. We're not looking for it in affirmation from others. We're not looking at it from our achievements at work. It's great to achieve at work, but don't look at it to affirm your self-worth, because you'll be on this never-ending roller coaster of trying to keep that high up once you get that, and it doesn't work long-term. So I think God has a loving plan for us. Human beings tend to like our own plans better from Adam and Eve. Those plans are always less. Those plans never really work. So I think having that connection of really knowing this is about a relationship with God, and he's got some amazing plans for us, and they're very real, is something that changes. And I think that's what my daughter, listening to these other people her age, is connecting to, is she's really dealt with an issue with her self-worth because of a number of issues. And it's like breaking through and saying, I know where it comes from now. And she said, I heard this voice saying, let me into your heart. And she goes, where did that come from? I'm sitting in the car. And she said, a week later, I talked to a priest and I came home and I heard a voice saying that you are loved by me. And she goes, I don't know where it came from. It's not a physical voice, but it seemed so real. And I think that kind of thing is like, it's letting that in. What is it that lets that in for a different individual? I think it's different for all of us. Like for me, it was kind of a intellectual exercise saying, yep, okay, God, I'm really sure he exists. So he's worth checking into. This makes sense. This makes sense. And then it finally gets to your heart. Some people start at the other end, I think, very simply from that feeling in the heart. And then they're drawn to want to learn more. So it's kind of flipped for them. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think you're right too. That simple message, if they just can get that initial piece, they can go at that point and seek. And then you mentioned nonfiction books and other resources, groups that are out there. But unless they even start at that most basic understanding that, yes, there's a God, he loves me, he has a plan for my life, you know, there's nowhere to go for them. So we definitely want to hear how we can get a hold of your books and more about you. But first, we want to have our entertainment segment. All right, in our entertainment segment, I always like to ask my guests if they have a book or an author or something that they would recommend to parents and teachers to give to their teen or young adult. Do you have anybody in mind, Jim?
One of the things that I think that has been great on this journey is the people I've met along the way. And Mary Jo Thayer wrote a book that came out this year called Close to the Soul. And I really enjoyed reading that. I think it's a great book for young adults and teens. It could be a tough book. It does deal with some difficult topics for the main character, a female teen that has to go through some tough decisions. It's a very pro-life book, and it's a book that goes on her journey. It was kind of amazing to watch. She's won several awards with the book. It's gotten a great reception, and it's just nice to see the material out there for younger readers as well. I've read a number of different things, but hers kind of stood out recently that I've read and wrote a nice review for to try to help any way I can. I think we support each other, and I think that's one I would recommend.
And what would be the minimum age range that you think you'd give that if you were a parent?
Well, it does deal with, and she does it in a very nice way. I mean, she is sexually assaulted in this, and so she's got to deal with how she goes with that. So I would think a mature 14-year-old would be okay for reading that. And I think it draws them in to say, this is what would I do in this situation? And how does this person grow through this in a way that instead of going downhill, her life really gets to a much better place? So I found it very inspiring and encouraging to read it. And I think any of the young adult readers as well. And so I think for any parent, you know, read through the book first, you know, make sure you're comfortable.
All right. And that's Mary Jo Thayer. And what's the name of the book?
Close to the Soul.
Wonderful. That's how we get her book. What if folks want to learn more about you or get a hold of one of your many novels that are out there?
Yeah, so I have a website, jimsano.com. So all the books are on there and you can click on there. They're most readily available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but any bookstore can order them as well. If anyone has any questions at all, I love talking to people that are either interested or have read it. Met some wonderful people along this journey. So many of the readers that I've been able to connect with, it's getting that feedback has been such a blessing.
Final question, final piece of advice you might have. You're a parent of a teenager. You're trying to, or maybe even going, some kid has gone to college, trying to figure out how can I evangelize this youth of mine. What's your best advice?
Yeah, I think it's the toughest one out there. Your kid's going out into the world, and you know that there's not a lot pulling them in the right directions out there. So hopefully you've given them a solid enough character going out. I do think if you could find a retreat, or you can find a group or something of people their age that think, wow, they think this stuff is important. They're not afraid to go there. It can have such a powerful impact. So if there's a college, even if it's a secular college that has a Catholic group they can go to, or in high school, if there's a retreat that they can go to, sometimes those types of experiences can be the thing that kind of flips that switch in a way that makes such a difference in the world. So we can hope and pray is along the way, because you never know if that's going to make the difference at that time or somewhere down the road for their life.
Great advice. Jim, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. This was, like I said, I've been looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to checking the Hardwood series out as well.
Wonderful. And that is, unfortunately, all the time we have for the show today. We've been speaking with Jim Sano about evangelizing our adult children. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolenc. If you have a question for me or a topic you'd like me to cover, please drop me a line on my website, anthonykolenc.com. You can also find information about my historical fiction series there, The Hardwood Mysteries. Until next time, may God bless you and your families as we work together to raise faithful kids.